Yeah. Yeah, this is the Kaufman Show. This is the bad boy version of the Kaufman Show. Yeah. I am Jay Farrar, filling in for Dave Kaufman tonight, as Dave has traveled to Toronto to, for once in his life, see Bruce Springsteen. We've got a special show tonight here on the Kaufman Show, a little bit different than what you're used to. I've got two very special co-hosts. One of them, sitting right across from me, is a man that most people will know, and if you were listening to Melnick in the afternoon, we did all the introduction stuff, so I'm just going to go ahead and introduce him. Mr. Jay Baruchel, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, good.
Super formal.
What happened there?
I wasn't convinced the mic was turned on yet.
Okay.
Before putting on a bunch of mustard on in my introduction, be like, what's up? This is Jay live from Westman. Like, and then I have to do it all over again. So I just waited until I knew for certain.
I was like, what was it? The Tom Snyder impression there. It's late night radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. And to my right, a star coming out of this city. I'll give him that much anyway.
Jeez. It begins.
It begins, and it's going to last for another 3 hours, so everybody be ready for it. Mr. Anakin Slade, how are you, bro?
How are you, bro?
I'm okay. I'm okay, man.
Hey, can I get this out of the way now? Because it's going to be a problem for me. I'm going to call my brother, bro.
Bro.
And I'm going to call Mr. Baruchel, Jay.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
That's not too confusing for you guys?
No. It might be confusing to some of the listeners who don't know our relationship, but that's fine.
Well, I have a ton of Greek swear words that I could also call you.
Yeah, so. I was thinking of one, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Does anybody know that if we have to bleep those?
Yeah,
Greek swear words?
That's so interesting. I think I said one once, and I didn't get any emails the next day, so I know we're okay on that front.
But
let's not start anything because everybody from Chamonix is going to start calling.
Well, I don't want my physical science teacher, Mr. Daskalakis from grade 9, to take issue. I think he has a fond memory of me.
You wouldn't want to upset him.
You want him to be disappointed.
No,
not at all. Okay.
Not at all.
We got a great show lined up for you this evening. We're going to start
we'll
off
see.
With...
We'll see.
No, it's going to be.
Okay.
We're going to start off with a bang coming up in the next segment. None other than perhaps the greatest heavyweight of all time, Mr. George Larac, will be joining us here on The Kaufman Show. Stay tuned. Lots more to come. To stay out of Charles Mansion, to Abraham's Lincoln through the Tar Bridge expansion. Willis reads a map that marked the spot showing. On his left, George burns a blunt, William Holden. Tara Bank the money to Shaka Khan the poor. Alicia Keys is called for giving. Out in the street, they call it murder. Jam rock, jump where the thugs and jump but to bone are within a van back. It in your handbag, your knapsack, it in your backpack. Your girlfriend contact some boy, not know this. I'm only come around like tourists on the beach with a few club sodas, bedtime stories, and pose like them named Chuck Norris. And don't know the real hardcore, cause sandals are not back to. The thugs them with the way them got to. And won't think twice to shot to. Don't make them spot to. Unless you carry
you guns and lock to. Okay. Squirrel. Okay, good luck with it.
Good luck, man. Let's go, he says. That's unbelievable. Look at him, the smile on his face.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments in NHL history.
Yeah, no kidding. Yours and mine both.
And you know what? I see the inspiration in a little film you did called Goon.
Inspiration? Yeah. We literally just transcribed what they said and put it in a movie.
It was completely cloned. He is known as probably the greatest heavyweight in NHL history.
Unquestionably.
Didn't seem he ever lost a fight, although he may tell us different in the next few minutes. 13 seasons in the NHL, I do believe. I hope I got that right. He is Mr. George Larac joining us now on the Kaufman Show. George Larac, how are you, sir?
Very good. How you guys doing?
Very, very good. Say hi to Jay over here, Jay Baruchel. You may know him.
Boy.
How's it going, bud?
Actually, I got to give my boy, I got to give him some Hebrew lesson.
He does.
This is something that the world needs to know for those who care. George LaRock speaks better Hebrew than I do.
Wow.
And how did that come about, George? This is my first journalistic question to you. How do you, sir, know Hebrew?
Oh, because a couple years ago, I was converted to a Jewish religion.
Okay.
My best friends are Jewish, and I got to learn Hebrew a lot. And one of my dreams is to go to Israel someday.
Well, okay,
well,
good.
That,
well,
he's a man of very. If that isn't the coolest thing you've ever heard, Coach St. Luke, I'm looking at you. Come on, pinch yourselves. He wants in.
Yeah. A lot of wanted Jewish guys just breathed some relief there. Larak's on our side, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. George, you made a little bit of news last week. You were starting a little. I know that you haven't exactly started the position. I don't know if it's changed in the last couple of days, but you're making some news with the CHL. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I didn't start anything. This process has been starting 14 months ago.
Right.
And they've asked me to be executive director. But the thing is that the group has to negotiate with the league, so there's no group yet.
Okay.
Like they're working towards that, which you know, they have to negotiate with the league. So we'll see how things goes lately. I hope it works out for the players, but it's going to be a really strong, strong negotiation and stuff. The league has to agree to a couple things, and you know, it would be good for the guys. You know, if you look at firemen, police officer, teachers, and everybody has a union to protect themselves, right? And guys in the NHL have a union. So kids, how come kids from 16 to 20 years old, 1,500 kids, you know, don't have a union yet? You know, they're working. And if there's somebody that needs it to be protected, it's them. But we'll see how things are going to go the next few weeks. And I really hope that it works out for the kids. But
because it is effectively
still a long way to go.
Because the junior leagues are, you know, they're as close to professional as you can be.
Sure.
Without the salary, right? The hours are the same. The work is the same. You know, so it makes sense that they should be treated equitably.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. You know, right now, you know, like the team has no line of conduct. They can do whatever they want because there's no rules. And, you know,
some of the conditions have been reported as questionable at best at some times.
Yeah,
you know?
as shown in the movie, that great NFB movie, Junior, which
yes.
is, you know, a year in the life of the Baie-Comeau Drakkar. And it was just a lot of stuff those kids have to deal with that I don't think the average hockey fan realizes.
Yeah, no, it's hard. But the main point is, especially is the education, because the education package out of junior hockey is not good enough. And most of the guys, because they've traveled the correspondence course, and 97% of those guys won't play professional. Like, they won't play in the NHL. So it's really important to help those kids to have some education if their hockey career don't work out. So there's a couple of things like that the CHLP is looking at to do. And, again, this is – but it's hard – the reason why it's so hard to form and it takes a lot of negotiating with the league is – contrary to the NHLPA, this is a union that the players would not have to fund. So, and the league would have to. So that's why, as you can imagine, the league, which is against it, obviously, because I don't know any league or any owner that would support having a union that will give them a line of conduct. But that's why it's a lot of work to be done. People are working really hard in that process. And right now, I kind of more like of a spokesperson right now. We'll see how things will go in the future.
In the early stages, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you mentioned that people are against it, and you've mentioned some former players who are actually against it now too, who have become owners, and you weren't happy about that.
Well, I you know, when you look at that, don't you think it's hypocritical when you made millions of dollars in the NHL because of the player association? You stood firm by the player association.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you're an owner, you're like, well, you know, now I'm against it.
Yeah.
You know, especially one of the players complaining is a guy that was part of the player association. So
wow.
It doesn't make sense. And you know, it's, you know, you got to.
You're not going to mention any names, George. It's not like he's going to come slap you around or anything.
I don't mind actually mentioning that name.
Better boy.
It's Mark Recchi. That was actually part of the player association. Is talking against the CHLPA, but the reason why I'm happy to actually mention his name is because Mark Recchi is also the guy that was diagnosing
Max Pacioretty.
They said that he was faking.
Yeah. Dr. Recchi, of course. This is Dr. Recchi talking
yes.
about.
Yes,
exactly. So
MD.
When you, so when you hear something like that from him, it's like, well, okay, well, you know, I'm pretty sure that when people heard what he said, they weren't really surprised because there's not much bolt there.
Yeah, right. It's what my mother would say. It's as my mother would say, consider the source.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, it's amazing how the bottom line changes people. And, you know, we wish you luck in your endeavor, and hopefully people will start paying attention to these kids who are coming up in not the greatest of conditions and not the best of – and I know it's not about pay. It's more about, you know, having at least – I mean, like you said, most of the players are not going to make it. So – at their time there, they might as well enjoy it and be treated right.
Respectfully.
Well,
yeah.
They are treated right. Like, they're not doing this to condone the way kids are treated because
no.
they're treated well. There's some few examples of things that happen, but the biggest issue is the education.
That's
the
right. Preparing them for the big time for those that do go on. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the most important thing. And then, you know, after that, we could, you know, if this. The biggest thing is when there's a issue with kids, what they do is that the kids are going to, you know, they're going to call the agent and then the agent call the team. So if the agent does that, call the team, they know it comes from what player. And then by doing that, you know, maybe the guy won't play the next game. The guy will get in trouble. So they'd rather not say anything. When there's a union and there's a problem, what they do, they address the problem to the union. When the union calls the team after, you know, it's confidential.
Right.
And then we could deal with this issue. So that's really important. And the because it's confidential, and those kids are young, so they don't want to say anything that'll hurt their ice time or hurt their chance to play. So
of course,
that's
not.
Why it's also good for that reason to have a union. But again, there's a lot of things to be done. The group has a lot of work to do, and we'll see what's going to happen when they negotiate with the league.
We are joined by Georges Larac here on the Kaufman Show on TSN 990. Switching gears a little bit here, you got to understand, you got three fanboys in the studio here, and they did have some, fanboy nerdy questions to ask you about hockey. Your hardest fight.
No,
your hardest fight. Who was the toughest guy you ever fought?
Derek Bougard.
Derek Bougard, huh?
Yeah,
I might have thought that.
It's unsurprising.
790 pounds.
Yeah, right. Just about, yeah. Because you're only in at 640 right now, right? So, yeah.
You know what? You made me look as small as Jay looks beside me.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Yeah, well, we didn't really get to see that. You guys never stood together during the movie Goon. He was always up in the...
Yeah, no, he's about the size of... he's about 5 J's wide.
Yeah, right? Really, yeah. And 3.5 tall, yeah.
And width, too. Wide and width.
Yeah.
Especially the bottom side.
And did you enjoy your time doing Goon?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was awesome. The entire cast, all the actors, everybody that was there, it was awesome because, you know, people were patient too because it takes a while to do that, and it was good. I really like everybody that I work with, and it was such a fun time. And
it was kind of easy to get in a character, wasn't it? I mean, you weren't exactly it wasn't exactly a stretch for you there. You weren't Rain Man or anything. You were pretty much you're pretty much playing yourself there, George.
That actually would be, if you really wanted to see me doing Rain Man. I would love to do that.
Kmart sucks, that. Just Kmart sucks.
I would love that. I would love to do that. You know what? Maybe I should have done the Rain Man after I got beat up in one of the fights in the movie. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Water burn, baby.
Yeah. George, thank you.
Awesome. But Jay, by the way,
yeah,
I loved your character. I loved the way you were in the stands and stuff. It was so funny.
By the way, he wasn't much out of character either
when
he was playing that role. Yeah.
And I want to say,
for sure, that's him.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's exactly
me. And so you can understand how bloody psyched I was when I found out that you were going to be in our movie. And so I know I've said it enough times, but my friend, merci beaucoup. Like, you just, we got to experience greatness that day that you were on set. So I am forever in your debt, and I'm proud to call you a friend.
Oh, wow. It's my pleasure. And
don't worry, he's not going to beat you up, Jay.
Hey, by the way, I got to say one thing to the auditors. Jay just said, merci beaucoup. That's more French than Randy Connerworth has done the entire time.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You couldn't resist. Yeah. You couldn't resist.
So, yeah, he's in a garbage bin right next to Dr. Recky right now. Both bodies will be found later this afternoon. George, you're a man of many facets, three-dimensional. You do all kinds of things for the public, and you care, and we really appreciated you having you on the Kaufman Show today. I hope you'll join us again at some point.
Oh, whenever you guys want. That was awesome.
Thank you so much, buddy.
Awesome.
Thank you, George.
Welcome, Jay.
Take care.
And Jay, vegan meal soon.
All right, vegan meal soon. I know. That's 2 years I've been putting this thing off. Fine, it's coming up.
Okay.
Bye, buddy.
See you guys.
Take care. George Larac. Three-dimensional man, actor, philanthropist.
General
world ass kicker.
Ass kicker. World saver.
World saver, yeah. Vegan.
Yep.
This is
arguably the hardest vegan you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah, I've seen some vegans in my time, and yeah.
They usually look like the cast of Trainspotting.
Jeez. This is the Kaufman Show. I'm Jay Farrar. That was Jay Baruchel. Anakin Slade in the house. We'll be back. This is the Ode to Goon.
Revolution will not be televised. The revolution is here. Yeah, it's common sense. The DJ Premier, we gonna help y'all see clear. It's real hip hop music from the soul, y'all. Yeah, second. Yeah. The perseverance of a rebel, I drop heavier levels, is unseen, heard. A king with words, can't knock the hustle, but I've seen street dreams deferred. Dark spots in my mind where the scene occurred.
Roland coming up there. Rune carries in, Roland in front of him, and it is shot. These are there following the play, and he misses the church under his again.
Yeah. This is the Kaufman Show. I'm Jay Farrar, Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade in the house. Well, there was no way I could do a segment. I mean, first of all, it was a great segue to have George Larac, which, even though he didn't play with us for very long, still is one of my favorite Habs of all time and one of my favorite hockey players of all time. But it wouldn't be right without having these two gentlemen in the studio and talking about some great Habs moments.
Indeed.
Everyone is, of course, invited to join the conversation. We can be reached here, 514-790-0990. If you are out of town, we'll pick up the bill. It's 1-866-896-2546. You want to join the conversation with Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade, and I, please go ahead. I just played a clip from the 1993 Stanley Cup. So, I mean, it's so clear. So clear.
How sad.
What my favorite moment is, and it might be, I'm not sure if it's as much moment as it is the call by Bob Cole on that famous goal, yeah. Eric Desjardins' third goal against the LA Kings in the Stanley Cup final in 1993. You were, Jay, you were just a lad at the time.
I was.
How well do you remember it?
I mean, I've said this before, The most vivid memory from that last from that time in that last cup is we were living in Ontario at the time, and my father liked to drink. We know this, and
we do now.
I just remember Dad being, you know, pissed drunk in front of the campfire, sticking a branch in the fire so that the tip would be an ember, and he carved out like Hoop Stan Lee in the air in front of him on Buckhorn Lake in Ontario, in Peterborough, Ontario, near Peterborough or something. It's all near Peterborough.
But right. It's, everything is near Peterborough.
You asked me
especially
what,
the drinking.
You asked me what I remembered. I remember my father drunk.
Okay.
Fond memories indeed.
So we're off to a good start.
Well, I remember obviously that goal, bro. We were at home, obviously. Where would we be? Where were we? 14, I guess, 15? Well, you were older. Okay, I remember standing on our couches watching that overtime.
Yeah.
I remember I was on the couch the entire time, like standing on it because it was so intense that it was 30 seconds into the overtime, right? That Desjardins.
Yeah, it was fairly quick, as most of the overtime goals that year were. I mean, they rarely went into double overtime out of the 10 wins.
So I was standing on a couch for 30 seconds, bro. That's crazy.
You were standing on a couch with, what are you, Tom Cruise? That's amazing. Fantastic. Good for you.
I'm real proud of you.
Yeah.
That was the point of my story.
Like you
basically.
Just banged Katie Holmes or something. Way to go, bud. Yeah, remember we went out in the streets of Chamonix and one of the kids was...
mean, you always have to put mean before this. You would say streets.
The mean streets of Chamonix, parading around, and one of the guys we were with, a good friend of ours, grew up with, is carrying around a goalie stick, and he's a black guy, too. You should have seen the cops jump on him. Crazed black man with a goalie stick running around the streets of Chamonix.
Mark Anthony Messiah.
Shout out. We got a caller, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, here we go. This is the Kaufman Show. I'm Jay Farrar with Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade. We've got, is that Ricky or Rocky?
Ricky.
Rocky would have been so much better. Ricky, you are on the line. How are you, bud?
Good, guys.
Oh, you had to. You had to.
I had to.
I have a feeling that we all know who Ricky is. Jay, you want to explain?
All right. This is one of Anglo-Montreal's great villains. Wait, what?
I'd like the other day to explain.
He has no idea.
I was just going to say, this voice, that strange voice you hear, belongs to one of Anglo-Montreal's great villains, Ricky Mabee, from Pointe Claire. Probably best known, should I say, best known as Stevenson from Goon, the nubile rookie obsessed with hero worship of his drunken captain?
Yes. That's Kathy Mabee's son from Pointe Claire.
You are also Kathy Mabee's son from Pointe Claire. We need to specify here.
And Brian Mabee's brother.
Yeah.
That is correct, right?
So it's clear we're going to have the entire cast on today.
What?
Go ahead, Ricky.
Rod and I used to go on bike rides together.
Rod.
When we were kids, but also in our late teens.
Oh, Rod.
Rod Francis.
Yes.
Rod Francis. Yeah. Okay, good. Well,
that was a great anecdote and certainly worth calling in. Yep.
That's my time, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'll get back with Rod.
Have a good one. Yeah.
What kind of line are you on there, Rick?
He's calling from Afghanistan, it sounds like.
Yeah, the BlackBerry is so 2009, dude. You got to... Are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
Because Jay Farrar's not done shitting on your phone capabilities.
There's a delay. Tell us about a little bit. I mean, we had George LeBrack on a little bit earlier. Tell us about your experience on Goon.
Amazing. I got to spend 2 months in Winnipeg. I'll get to the amazing part after.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Winnipeg. But no, it was a lot of fun. It was my dream that I got to play hockey and get paid to play hockey.
Right.
Because God knows my physique wouldn't allow me to ever get paid professionally to play hockey ever.
Can you tell the story about, like, you know, how hard you worked and basically how you had to prove yourself and how the lengths you went to do that? Because it's a really great story.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Jay for years, so he maybe 4 or 5 years ago had told me about this project and how excited he was about it and that there'd be a cherubish part for me in it with my red cheeks screaming from a bench. But when you get into production, sometimes, you know, you've got to go through hoops and stuff. So I busted my ass out here in L.A. training for a good month before, and then sent videotape of my elite hockey skills as much as you could learn playing in the San Fernando Valley. But it was, you know, I sent in a couple of tapes of me playing hockey, and they, you know, weren't too convinced. And then Jay helped me put a audition on tape of just kind of us improvising and goofing around. And then finally it all worked out.
And I have to say, he's far too modest to say, but people need to know that, like, this kid is Irish work ethic embodied. I mean that. He had to prove a lot of people. He had to prove what he could do. I knew what he could do. But Anakin was trying to get Ricky to say was that a lot of people didn't see what I saw in him. Mm-hmm. And so he had to go that extra mile. And so he, on his own dime, brought himself up to Winnipeg a month before we started shooting and got rink time whenever he could. And then when we started shooting, he never gave up. You know, these are boys that skated 12 hours a night. And during his breaks, Ricky was skating, doing laps.
So he did Rain Man it, as opposed to George. Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly was the Rain Man of the team.
And I got to say, I wanted you to tell the story because when I saw one of the cuts of it, I was amazed that, first of all, you know, how well, when you told me the story, I was like, well, you skated so well, you were perfect for the role. So when you told me the story that you actually had to work that hard to actually get the part, it seemed strange because you were so perfect for it. So
and I wrote it for him, literally. That was the thing that was hardest, is that, like, I wrote it with him in mind. And I had people telling him, now he's not right for this part. I'm saying, but this is who I envision. This is who I wrote it for. I promise you he can do it. And, like, he's what a lot of people love most about that movie, man. He's such a lovable, hilarious character. Well, who doesn't want Ricky Mabee in a movie?
No, obviously not. Actually, my brother's written several parts.
Of Los Angeles.
Come on, Ricky.
I saw your cameo in the newsroom, though. That was great. You had a little cameo.
Thank you. Yeah, I just finished watching it last night with Jay's beautiful and talented, lady, Allison Pill. It was
what
a show.
Yeah.
Although no hockey.
No hockey, my friend.
But it was fun getting to see how big George Larocque was on the ice. Because we had big guys playing with us in Winnipeg, but when you see George Larocque hit the ice, and when they had to take the foam out of the helmet because the helmet wouldn't fit over his head.
Oh, my God.
He was wearing, like, a plastic shell on his hair.
Literally. Wow.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing, the size of this man, but nothing but a smile for days on him.
Yeah, that's right.
See, as my voice cracks, that's how
it's super emotional.
Getting a little emotional here. You're listening to the Kaufman Show, otherwise known as an infomercial for Newsroom and Goon.
And this is your life, Anglo Montreal edition.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels coming up next on the Kaufman Show.
Ricky, you're my brother. I love you, buddy.
I love you, boys. Have fun. It's been very entertaining listening to you guys.
Thanks,
Matt. Call in anytime. We'd like to get a little bit more into your career. It'd be awesome. And good luck to you. Don't put yourself down, man. You're great. You do some great work.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Guys. Have a good one. You too, buddy.
Yeah. Take care, bud. I totally Dr. Phil'd him right there.
You
know?
You did.
Yeah.
You did. You wanted him to see what the world sees.
Yeah, you're in an emotional hotel, and the elevator's stuck on the frustration level.
But you are an emotional hotel.
I am. I am all over the place. Did we just get another caller, Steph? Steph Amell, sorry.
No one's calling.
I didn't introduce Steph.
I was waiting for it.
Sorry, you're
what the hell?
Yeah, man, I was so rude. I was so hyped up about George Larocque. Thanks, Steph. He works really hard here, and
he does.
He's the lifeblood of this thing. Don't care who That's he right. is. It's awful what I just did to him. Steph Amell is producing our show today and helping me out with all my petty sound clips. How you doing, Steph? You enjoying yourself here so far?
Yeah, I love it. I love the dynamic between Jays and Anakin Slade. It's great.
Stalwart. Yeah.
Yeah. Kaufman's not.
Stalwart.
He's Stalwart. Yeah. We'll get to you in a minute or whatever. whatever sports team song you're writing next. I'm busy with Steph right now, okay? Give me a second,
hey,
will
you? Do you want to know my favorite Montreal Canadiens moment?
Yes, please.
Yeah, let's, come on.
Can we get back to the subject that
I was just going
to
say, we've so diverted from that subject.
Go ahead, Steph.
Because I was too young. I was about 4 years old.
So it's a Zednik moment, right?
Yeah. No, it's not a Zednik moment. It's a Sakakoivu moment.
Okay, well, there's many of those.
The eight-minute standing ovation.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
That was amazing.
Absolutely. Just the subtleties of watching that video. Even today, I get goosebumps. I get a little lump in the throat watching it. You could see how he's kind of grinding his lower jaw because he's kind of really holding it in as he's looking
he's
up at the crowd.
You know, he's a Finn. They're not emotive people. And
that's
this
right.
is something that he got a lot of flack for during his tenure here, was that he was never the sort of light a fire under your arse guy. But, like, he's just not that guy. And so to see him come as close to losing it as he ever did, I mean, like, I defy you to watch that whole thing and not get at least a little choked up.
Yeah. Is that it right there?
Yeah, these are the fans screaming. It's a little low quality, but it's the best I could find.
That's okay.
So is this show.
Jeez.
No, tonight's show.
Yeah. It'll be, see how many times we mention Goon the rest of the time. Yeah. Which is now available on Blu-ray, by the way. I'm just trying to get into Actra. I don't know.
All right, I'll return the favor. There's liquor and beer at McLean's, everybody, always.
All right. The sound of Slayer means it's the end of this segment.
It's the end of your life as well, usually, Slayer.
Yeah. You're listening to The Kaufman Show, Jay Farrar, Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade, and, of course, Steph Amell on the board. We'll be back.
And I promise I won't keep you long. I'll keep you for another minute.
Shell's taking over my music as well. What are we listening to here?
That was Atmosphere by Joy Division.
Ah.
I'm trying my best.
Just calm us down right now.
Listen, I'm just trying to class the joint up, man. trying to bring a bit of culture into this thing.
Okay.
All right? Because Lord knows that the Greek posse from Shamity isn't going to do it, so.
Wow.
That's you two. I'm looking at you two here. Yeah.
This is The Kaufman Show, Jay Farrar, Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade, Steph Amell behind the board, and in the back room, and I still don't know what he does, John Korkalakos. He's out there plugging away at a computer. No, John puts our podcast together. It can be found at The Kaufman Show, Podbean, after the show if you missed it, if you weren't able, if you're eating, if you're watching Newsroom, if you're watching Goon.
If you're listening to Anakin's record.
If you're listening to Anakin's record, and I do nothing in life, so never mind. Listen to us on the Podbean. It's a live podcast, and you can. It's separated in segments. You can pick whatever you want. Do we have a caller?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, we were discussing.
Yeah, you know this guy, too, apparently.
Oh, yeah, okay. We're discussing, discussing greatest have moments. These are the moments that we've been trying to remember, but we keep going off track. I was trying to get into favorite players and so on, but we got a caller on the line, and I think I know who it is. Elias, are you there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
He's chilling out, too.
Yeah. More enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's just the friends call-in show.
It really is.
Yeah, it really is. It's just a posse, and it's gotten out of control. This is Elias Tufexis.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
More Greeks from Chomedy.
More Greeks from Chomedy.
Can't have enough.
More pretentious artists on the show.
That's can't all have I enough of those either.
You may know Elias from numerous films, television shows, and video games.
The latest of which is Deus Ex.
Deus Ex,
Human Revolution.
And he was, I think you were just on a recent episode of Alphas as well.
Yeah, it's actually airing right now. Actually, I'm not watching it in favor of calling.
Atta boy.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, that was that. That was the extent of the applause. Yeah.
Studio's going to love that. They're going to be very, very happy with you. All right, Tufexus, what do you want?
I wanted to talk about the Canadians, man. Favorite memories and stuff like that.
Okay, well, you were there with us in 93. Because
remember.
We did grow up together, Anakin. I can't believe I'm calling Anakin. Anakin, Lee and I, Elias and I. These are none of the real names, by the way. All right, tell us your fond memory.
I remember mostly, I remember that night when you were saying the black guy Mark with the hockey stick.
The black guy Mark, great.
Yeah. It was one of two black guys that we hung out with. I remember that. I remember just going crazy. But we were in Chamonix. Remember when they won the cup and we were running around in Chamonix, which is, of course, for anybody who knows, miles and miles away from the Forum. And we were the whole town was out. It was crazy. I remember that. But I remember the thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was I remember exactly when I became a Habs fan.
Yeah.
And actually, you two guys have a lot to do with me being a sports fan in general. Because
yeah.
I was never, my dad was never really into sports when I was growing up. And hanging out with you guys got me into sports. At first, we loved the Expos and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we used to play, we called it Socky at recess, which was hockey with our feet and a tennis ball.
Hold on a sec, sorry. You called that, and this is no joke, you guys literally did that, you called it Socky.
Right.
We played the exact same game and called it Hawker.
No way.
I'm not joking at all.
That's insane.
You guys are like our bizarro world. That's amazing.
Weird.
This is, and I remember this well, we were just kids. It was right after they had won the 86 Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And who were you, Elias?
Ryan Walter.
You were Ryan Walter, that's
because
right.
Because he went to my church.
Okay.
That was the only reason.
Do you remember who I was?
No, I don't remember. Who
were
you?
Weren't you Shell Dahleen?
I was Shell Dahleen, that's right.
Yes.
That's so weak.
He was a nominee for Rookie of the Year. He scored 20 goals that year in 1986, and then he went off to play in Sweden, where he was from. He was kind of coming up as Mats Naslund's protege. It never really panned out. In fact, I asked Guy Carboneau whatever happened to him once, and he looked at me and said... who cares? Pretty much. and then took a shot. It was like the worst moment of my life. I'm like, what happened to Shell Dahleen? It's like, who the hell are you? Trying to have a drink here.
And then he poured kerosene all over you and lit you on fire.
Yes, he did.
But bro, Elias, another great memory that I associate with you as well is the sack of Koivu, which we were talking about before. And that year when we played the Bruins and we were living in New York City doing Killing Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And we watched the game with, you know, Koivu's famous goal where he does the little deke there and scores and jumps into the corner.
I forget what
game it was, but it was against the Bruins. And they were seventh and they beat the number two team, the Bruins.
Were we in Times Square? Weren't we in that Times Square to watch?
No, we were in Yonkers. We were at your place in Yonkers.
Oh, we watched it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I think I was...
I told you they were pretentious.
I think I was standing on a couch in that game, too. Yeah. I think that's all I really do when I watch
really
large
okay,
hockey
so
games.
I'm never inviting either of you over. I like my couches, all right? I spend a bunch of money on those couches. I don't need you traipsing about on them.
I think it's fair to say there's been far worse things that happened on your couch than me standing
on
it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Wow.
No, that's not wrong.
Wow.
I've been to his place.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Also, there's not that much to celebrate these days that's worthy of jumping on couches.
No kidding, bud.
So what's coming up with you? You in Goon 2 or making a cameo on Newsroom? Or what's going on with you?
I was calling just to pitch myself to Jay for Goon 2. I can't skate.
Yeah, he can't skate at all.
Done and done.
Thank you, Elias Tufexus, for joining us. Good to hear from you, bud.
All right, keep it up, boys.
Go Habs.
Go Habs.
Yes,
talk to you guys later.
Peace, bud.
These are the moments we are talking about. Habs greatest moments. This is the Kaufman Show, Jay Farrar, Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade, John Kirkalakos, Steph Amell. I'm just making up.
And Jerry Mathers as the Beaver.
And Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. This is TSN 990 Radio, Montreal.
It's here and now, today. This is the moment. This is the time. When the momentum and the moment are in right.
Yeah, the real thing, Pearl Jam teaming up with Cypress Hill circa 1993 off the Judgment Night album, one of the most underrated albums of all time, and one of the greatest soundtracks I've ever heard.
It's amazing.
Yeah, each song is incredible. A hardcore or heavy metal band teamed up with a hip-hop
Isn't
artist.
Isn't there Onyx and Biohazard?
Biohazard, Slayer, Ice-T.
Yeah.
Who else is on that?
Onyx and Bio.
Yeah, what else? What else you got, bud?
The worst memory ever.
Okay, Del the Funky Homo Sapien with Dinosaur Jr.
Oh, good call, bro. Yeah. That's a scary one.
Yeah, I love that one.
I'll tell you another soundtrack in the same vein, doesn't get any love, is all about pair-ups, is...
Goon?
I didn't say it. That's you this time, all right? That's not my fault.
No, the whole thing is my fault.
Yeah, no kidding.
I needed to mention at least once before we get serious.
And this is not a very great movie, but the soundtrack is just amazing. Spawn. Spawn had a wicked soundtrack.
That's right. It did. And I remember that, too. Judgment Night was an awful, awful movie. This is just so horrible.
But that's the best it ever got, the combination of metal and rap. It never got better than that. I mean, Rock Superstar was a pretty good song by Cypress, but really outside of that, that album is the apex.
That's as good as it gets.
So you're not a fan of Body Count. Ice-T's band.
There goes the neighborhood. I love Body Count.
Body Count's in the house. Body Count. Body Count's in the house. Body Count.
Ice-T was...
I loved it because we weren't allowed to buy it.
Yeah, right.
So that's why we loved it. And when you listen to it, it was a piece of crap.
But I loved it because it was in the closing credits of Universal Soldier.
Was it?
Yeah.
Really?
They got that gig, did they?
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
Ice-T had the worst hooks ever.
Terrible.
He did.
Colors. That's his hook.
Yeah,
that's colors.
Yeah.
Just colors. Colors. What are we going to do for this
disorder.
Hook?
Disorder. It's awful.
Body Count's in the house, guys.
This is the Kaufman Show, or was the Kaufman Show at one point. Jay Farrar, filling in for the absent Dave Kaufman, who I understand is at an Argonauts game right now.
That's just funny.
Yeah. So obviously his vacation is going extremely well. I'm in studio co-hosting, special co-host today, Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade. We're having a good time. I was going to try and get serious, but unfortunately we've got a guest coming up in the next couple of minutes. He's Ryan Lambert. Interesting fella.
He is. If you don't follow him on Twitter.
Do if you want to get really pissed off.
If you enjoy ulcers. no, but he's a good dude. He loves pushing buttons. He's just a really great hockey troll. And a really smart guy and knows his puck and you know he's one of the rare experts on U.S. college hockey
He could be followed at
At Two Line Pass.
Yeah. At Two Line Pass. By the way, if you want to follow the rest of us, which I don't know why you would at this point, it is on Twitter. It's at Anakin Slade, at Baruchel NDG, and at JPub Radio. A very innovative name, just amalgamating. my two professions.
Vague description of what you do.
Of what I do.
My name is Jay. I work at the pub. Yes. I also work at the radio. Yes.
It's like sake.
Like
or hawker.
Or hawker. The bizarre world sake.
That's so strange.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. That Steph, you're on Twitter as well, right?
Yeah, it's Stefan Hamel. No E after the N.
Where was the end? Oh, okay, it's Stefan. All right.
I didn't want to have to spell it all out, you know, but I guess
no,
I should.
Please, keep on spelling. It's so interesting.
Okay. Coming up in a few minutes again, Ryan Lambert, that should be an interesting conversation. Should I take a devil's advocate turn on this, or should I just let him go?
I think we just let him go.
What do you
go.
Think? Is he as brave on Twitter as he is on the radio, or what?
You know, I mean...
Or the opposite, I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's a gentleman, so I expect him to conduct himself accordingly. And that means wearing a little suit and okay. and putting on racing gloves and
racing gloves.
I don't know who I'm describing exactly. Yes, I want a little gentleman's outfit. I would like you to arrive in a one-seater car of some sort and to be eating kernels of corn. Corn niblets, loose niblets, one at a time.
So he's a character from Downton Abbey or something like that?
Or some weird, I don't know what this is.
I was so going to do some Lance Armstrong right now or anything. Once again, we are taking your call, 790-0990.
All right, there's sports and crap.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, should we talk about hawker?
Yeah. I'm sure there's an aficionado on the subject. 790-0990, toll-free, out of town, 1-866-896-2546. Let's bring it down a little bit. I was going to play a nice solemn tune at the end of after we talked about Lance Armstrong, but it's too short of a segment. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit later on. Coming up next on The Kaufman Show, Mr. Ryan Lambert, and maybe he's in a bad mood because he made him put on a little suit.
I really hope he's got his little gentleman's outfit on and he's miserable.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN 990 Radio.
If you're better, New York is cold, but I like where I'm living. There's music on Clinton Street all through the evening. I hear that you're building your little house deep in the desert.
Turn the page on the day, walk away. Cause there's sense in what I say. I'm 45th generation Roman, but I don't know them or care when I'm spitting. So return to your sitting position and listen, it's fitting. And I'm miles ahead and they chase me. Show your face on TV, then we'll see. You can't do half, my crew laughs at your rhubarb and custard verses. You rain down curses, but I'm waving your hearses driving by. Streets riding high with the beats in the sky. All stare, eyes glazed, garage burned down, the fire raged. For 40 days and in 40 ways. But through the blaze they see it fade. The sea of black, the beaming heat on their faces. Their figure emerges from the wastage.
Hip-hop sounds so much scarier when done with a guy with a cockney accent, isn't it?
It's good, right?
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic.
The sky turns white, it all becomes clear. They felt lifted from their fears.
And who are we listening to?
And that's Mike Skinner, a.k.a. The Streets. Yeah, he's from Birmingham in London and just a self-made man and someone I've been a fan of for a long time. Lucky enough to see him here a couple of years ago. But, yeah, very, very good rapper.
Great stuff. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. I'm Jay Farrar, along with Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade, my special two co-hosts this evening. Blah, stalwart. Stefan Mel behind the board. John Corcolaco is doing something in the room, which I still don't know what he does. Nobody has told me yet. Kaufman goes in there after the show, and I just leave because I need a drink. Later, Mitch.
Yeah, and later, Mitch. Yeah, yeah.
Joining us now, he's pretty. He has a hell of a lot of followers for a guy who doesn't write for a newspaper, doesn't have his own TV show.
Right. Yet.
And... maybe we can maybe we can have an audition right now.
Yeah, I'm sure that.
So to speak.
Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, I mean his bio on Twitter reads as follows.
Yeah.
Your favorite team sucks. Your favorite player sucks. You suck.
Yep.
Boston. Blah. Stalwart. His name is, he can be followed on Twitter at Two Line Pass. At Two Line Pass, we welcome to the Kaufman Show this evening, Mr. Ryan Lambert. Ryan, talk to me.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. How about you guys?
We're doing good, bud. Thanks for calling in. This is, you know, I got to make a, I'm going to say this, this is one of my Twitter friends I've never talked to in person, so.
That's right.
This is us, this is, we're breaking ground here, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. Now, like, I feel like I can tell people when I say, hey, that guy from that movie, Goon, I know that guy. Yeah. Now, like, people can't be like, yeah, right, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, usually they'll come back with the, yeah, or you follow him on Twitter or something. And
yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, and
he believes me.
Yeah, he gave me a shout out once. Yeah. I've been told by Jay that you've pissed a lot of people off in your time. What is.
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah. What is the worst thing you said that upset the most people? Now, please, we only have a 7-second delay here.
No, I understand. I get it.
So what would be something that you would say on Twitter? Like, give me an example that really, really got people going.
You know, you just, I would say the biggest thing ever was during the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver. America won the first hockey game. And I said, oh, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to American hockey. They beat an all-star team. And then they were like, and, you know, everybody was mad because they were like, you got to give Canada some credit. And I'm like, I don't know, guys. Chris Drury scored a couple of goals against you. Like, come on. That's terrible. And then.
This pissed people off?
Well, no. And then when Canada won the gold medal, obviously, I was like, yeah, you did it with an all-star team. Who cares? You beat a team with Chris Drury on it.
And it comes full circle. Perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't win.
That's great. So you had a lot of angry Canucks just politely telling you
made,
to.
He's made annoying Canadians a cottage industry, okay. For God's sakes. Like, I've never met somebody who takes such pleasure and relish in annoying I thought we were a nation of rather, I don't know, I didn't know we were bothering anybody, but this guy, but I'll tell you, you know, I'm Canadian, I'll admit it, I live here, I've grown up here. A few people find what he does to us as funny as I do.
Yeah, Jay tells me you're not really that kind of a guy in real life, but it is fun to get under people's skin on Twitter.
Sure,
especially yeah, you like that. Especially when you don't care what anybody thinks, especially a bunch of polite Canadians, you know. Yeah. Hey, that was unnecessary, eh? You know, it's like, that's how we're going to respond to that.
No, it's always stuff like, way to be classy, Lambert. Canada's amazing and stuff like that. Isn't that what you
bringing
get
bringing up
usually?
Healthcare and things, yeah. Just bringing up all our past. 1812, you know, just everything.
Oh, yeah. Do you understand during the last Olympics how many times I saw the four numbers 1812?
I can only.
And then I just said, you know, hey, your girls deserve to lose that soccer game. They cheated the whole time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the better team won. Everybody knows it.
Well, there goes Christine St. Clair for the show next week. It's Soccer Canada, it's jferr76@gmail.com. Thanks, Ryan.
There you go. I told you.
Do you have a fake? I'm just seeing right now somebody's doing a fake Twitter account for you.
Oh, there's a bunch of them out there. Yeah,
Ryan Lambert.
Oh yeah, that's the
two lime pass. Who's that?
That's the best one for sure because it talks about how much I love limes.
Okay. That's it? It's as simple as that.
So.
Okay. Also, there's
great
one.
Talk. I love limes.
Yeah,
so.
There's crying Lambert. I see that one too.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch. It's hard to keep up with all of them because they all make like four posts and then never do it again.
Well, look at you. Aren't you pleased with you? It's hard to keep track of all of them because there's so many people pretending to be me.
I don't want to brag, guys, but there are a lot of people who don't like me on the internet. So.
But this is a really interesting irony that we're touching on here. The idea that something so impersonal as Twitter, and yet people take this stuff so personally. Oh. That's the strange irony.
Yeah, it's very strange that like people I don't know are just sending like FU messages to me anytime Canada loses in any sport.
Well, and isn't that the wallpaper on your Twitter profile is just somebody's comment to you?
Well, that's not somebody. That's NHL Hall of Famer Dan Ellis.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh, that's right. What? Okay.
Ryan Lambert, one thing you need to learn from tweets is, what is it, to be classy?
I think it was.
Maybe next rip session, you can do that.
Oh my God, that's embarrassing.
That's great. Now, obviously, I mean, you're a hockey guy, and do you have an NHL team? Do you follow one, or you just want to sit there and insult them?
When I was a kid, I followed the Calgary Flames. Wait a second.
Why?
89?
Well, my grandfather is from Montreal originally.
I didn't know this. You've never mentioned this before.
I guess I didn't have occasion to, Jay. I'm sorry.
All right, fair enough. You don't know each other, remember?
As usual, we do.
Never met.
Yeah. As usual, we bring you the scoop on the Kaufman Show, journalism at its finest. You're a quarter Canadian, is that right? I did the math.
Well, both I believe were both my grandmother and my grandfather on my mom's side.
Oh, you're Lambert like Lambert.
No, it comes from my dad's side, and they're from England. So.
Yeah, right. Oh, crazy.
Yeah,
they're Normans.
Yeah. Well, I hope, people got stuff on you now, man, so I hope none of your followers are listening. Actually, I hope all of them are listening. That would be awesome.
I hope so, too. That would be great.
So you don't really rip on, you're not really going for any NHL team right now. Do you do a lot of ripping on the NHL
whoever I feel like deserves it, I guess.
Sure. Especially these days, have you been on Gary Bettman or the PA, the NHLPA?
I kind of feel like Bettman's just like a puppet for all the like owners whose teams are making the most money, and Bettman just goes out there and does whatever they say because they're the ones cutting his paychecks.
Yeah,
he looks kind of a puppet.
Yeah, I mean, like everybody's all mad at Gary Bettman all the time, but I never I was during that last lockout, but now that I kind of see the strings and everything like that, now I feel like, oh, you know who's the real jerk is like Ed Snyder or Jeremy Jacobs or whoever.
And you think we'll be playing this year, in your modest opinion?
Yeah, like a shortened season. I think everybody's saying like late November is when it's going to happen. So I feel like that's probably, if everybody's saying it, that's when it's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Baruchel, you okay?
Sometimes when I get excited or laugh really hard, snot comes out of my mouth.
That's nice. That's great.
It sounded like your mouth came out of your face on that one.
Well, what happened there, buddy?
I'm dying here, boys. I'm dying.
Wow. Lambert really does bring out the best in you.
Follow him at @2LinePass. Tell the world my story.
Jeez. Well, I am following you now, Ryan. I look forward to. Yeah, thank you. Me and 8,000 other people. anything else you could tell us? I mean, I know you pissed off a lot of Canadians with your rant about. I have to be honest. I haven't read many of your tweets because I only found out about you about 17 minutes ago when Baruchel told me you were going on. But I
knew who you were. That's what's important.
Thanks, buddy. That's really appreciated by me.
And nobody cares what I think. What kind of? I mean, do you tackle any serious issues? Are you?
He does. He does.
Really?
Well, this is. Dare I say, you're.
I mean, like
you're fairly lefty, and you I know that
lefty.
And I know that. I know that there's a lot of aspects of your country's culture currently that's driving you up the walls on a daily basis, no?
Yeah, I guess I would say that that's accurate. You know, the whole Republican National Convention, that's going to be a week of just being pissed off. So
yeah. Okay. So you'll be sending out some legitimate rape tweets anytime soon, or because
I don't know. That's
that was his nickname in high school.
legitimate rape tweets.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Well, it was cool. All right. Great. What's the matter?
Stephen Sell is thinking that don't say that word. Yeah.
Legitimate. We can't say that.
Cut it off.
Yeah. Legitimate's the word I didn't want you to say.
No. Well, why not?
Exactly.
We're paraphrasing, obviously. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. even though we didn't give you a chance to talk very much, the guy's got 8,000 followers on Twitter. The guy gets a voice, and nobody's letting him talk.
That's fine.
Are you promoting anything? What are you doing? You have a website, right?
Well, sure. Read the Puck Daddy blog at Yahoo.
Okay,
that's my main site, and then follow me on Twitter. And I guess that's it.
All right.
And if you're ever in the Boston area. Go to his house and you can hang out.
And what hood is he from?
I don't want to do that.
No, he doesn't want to do that. I got Slade's going to come and jump on your couch. And Jay, one last thing. Jay told me earlier what hood you were from, which is interesting. Another sports figure is from as well.
Yeah, why don't you represent?
Go Lowell, Massachusetts, home of Mickey Ward.
Irish.
Brah. Nice. Brah.
Brah, brah.
There have been so many shout-outs on this show.
That's pretty much all I'm doing. I'm sitting in the corner and going, brah, when appropriate.
Orangetown, son.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ryan, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck to you. And, hey, man, anytime you want to be on the show. I'm going to be following you, so when I see an interesting tweet, I'm going to get you on the air to explain yourself, young man.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you so much, guys.
I hope you got as much out of this as we did. Have a good one, bud.
See you guys.
Take care. Ryan Lambert can be followed at Two Line Pass on Twitter, www.twolinepass.com. I'm cultured, too. See that? You hear what's playing?
Yeah. Yeah, this is, one second. No, I know who it is. One second. I know who it is. One second. No, I'm not done. Just wait one second.
He's sound hounding right now.
It's Rick Mercer.
That's right. That's exactly it. Rick Mercer.
The man in black, Rick Mercer.
Hardcore. Wow. Jeez. I don't know if I'll be here next Monday. I hope so. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. I'm Jay Farrar, Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade in studio, Stefanella behind the board, TSN Radio 990. In our streak of lightning, cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I wear it for the sick and lonely old. For the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. Set it off. Yeah, yo. Give me the cue. Skip the introduction, pulsate the lip function. The junction get rushed by some grimy people busting weed. Splatter your belly like some Attica fellas. Using fire on good, blood scope for heart swelling. Insert the spasm, yes, the dirty hurt has them. Thoroughbred thugs, insert the phantasm. Verbal smarts, spark the word, vision my scripture. Exotic wine, holy nine, Picasso pictures. When the rhyme pivot, you now limit your chance. Bodyguard the lyric with unlimited stance. Word sing the zing on bound to Beijing. When we touch we are back. This is The Kaufman Show, TSN Radio 990. Jay Farrar, Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade in the house, who is actually not in the house. He's in the pee house. I played specifically for him some Wu-Tang. Unfortunately, he was not around to hear
it. Hilarious.
Yeah.
He's playing music for you.
Oh, you dropped that Wu-ish?
Yeah. We're going to have to cut it off. I think they're swearing in it and we're in enough trouble as it is.
Bells of War.
The Bells of War.
Forever.
Forever. Blah.
Blah.
Stalwart.
Oh, boy.
Stall wizard.
Now you see why white people are hated so much.
I guarantee you across the island of Montreal, there's people looking at their car radio. Did I turn it to 990? Yeah.
What channel are we on here?
See, Cotter.
Yes. Well, I mean, we haven't tackled any kind of issues today, and
but that's nice. I think I'm gonna be completely earnest and say that I think the average Montrealer has enough issues.
Right, right now. Well, yeah, we've got elections and elections and protests and all kinds of things going on right now in our belle province.
But the impact is surging.
Well, we can go to that if you'd like. Jay's a big impact fan,
and these are called forcible segues.
Thank you very much. The impact are surging, and a few weeks back, I got in a little bit of trouble for criticizing the location of the stadium, not because of how far it is, because that doesn't bother me. We can all get on the metro. You hear that, people in Beaconsfield? Put your sandals on and get out to the Saputo Stadium and watch a game, because it is
get
a great
away
experience.
From the yacht club for once.
Yeah, if you're okay with that. My problem with the location was there are no bars and restaurants around there, and I'm only speaking from experience when I say that. I had a lot of angry guys from St. Leonard calling me up and yelling at me and calling me out, saying I know nothing about soccer. Well, I do love soccer. I do love the game. I do not like the culture of the sport. There's a lot of diving. And when I was very pleased to watch the Women Olympics tournament, because I thought they really, really handled themselves with some gusto. And
well, they don't play. Well, that's the thing. It's like, there are aspects of a certain soccer culture that you seem to take issue with, because that stuff isn't epidemic everywhere. You know?
No, it's not. There are certain leagues.
Schools, and there are schools of styles of play.
Right.
And there are some people that wouldn't be caught dead diving. And there are some people that are raised to believe that it's part and parcel because it sets up a free kick or whatever, what have you.
Yeah.
It annoys the hell out of me. I just want to see good, open, attacking football.
Do you think if they were a little more stringent on a diving rule, or I mean, I know there is one in soccer, but perhaps if they enforced it a little bit more, we'd have less of this kind of behavior.
I assume that would follow. That being said, you'd be surprised as to how little effect deterrence really ever has. You know, and especially if it's like there are. Look, in hockey, there is a quote-unquote Canadian brand of hockey, and if you don't play like that, you play Russian hockey or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so all I'm saying is that there are styles of soccer in which this is generational. This is part of it. Why wouldn't you dive? It gets the ball closer to the opposing team's net.
I think it's because it's so expressive. I mean, it borderlines on ridiculous sometimes.
Oh, indeed.
I mean,
dramatic.
Dramatic, fake headbutts, reeling around like the guy's about to die.
The best actresses all come from Brazil. No, it's just like,
depends what movie you're watching.
Yeah, no, but I just like, if I never see another guy in a flamboyant yellow outfit holding his knee for no reason, like that's it zaps the momentum of the game. No, it's no fun to watch. But I have to say that like, the MLS, these things don't apply, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's not epidemic diving, at least not on our team that I see.
Yeah, and I'm not as schooled in soccer as I wouldn't say a layman, but I'm a casual watcher of soccer, and I couldn't tell you. I mean, I obviously know that MLS, as compared to the Premier League or any of the European leagues, there's no comparison. It's CFL to NFL, obvious.
Yet.
But I do enjoy the brand that I do see.
100%.
And I think it's getting better and better all the time.
And if you consider what they've done, this club has existed in Montreal for a while in the, I think it was called the A-League. But now in the MLS, in their first expansion year, to even be threatening a playoff spot, that's huge. That's a huge, huge story.
Yeah. That's another thing I was getting to. They're coming off, I think it's two big wins in a row.
Yep, that's right.
Five
wins in a row.
That's huge.
But two big ones.
Yeah. DC was we needed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. DC and San Jose, which is the best team in the league.
Exactly.
The San Jose Earthquakes. I got that one right. Yeah. And I'm I'm so happy to see a team from my town do well, especially in an expansion year.
No kidding.
And I encourage everybody to go out to that stadium. There's no excuse. It's not that far.
And it's a beautiful, I mean, from what I've seen anyway, I've been invited. I've yet to go. But, I mean, that's a gorgeous, gorgeous brand-new arena. And, you know, my mother was over at my house the other day, and the Impact were on TV, and she was talking to me. I said, Mom, just look at the TV. That's Montreal. That's not England.
Right.
And she was, wait a second, that's here? I said, yeah. And it sold out, and the people want to go see it. And there's, like, a cultural connection to this game. And, like, I get goosebumps. I get goosebumps watching the crowds at Saputo.
There was a lull in attendance for a little while, yeah, but it was during festival season, that's so right. We do give it the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And as many predicted, it's built up again, especially since they've been playing so well.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just a great thing to see.
And Jesse Marsh, first year as a coach, and just, like, you know, winning these tactical battles in his rookie year as a coach. I mean, there's just, like, there's a lot to like about
right.
this team.
Yeah, I have been enjoying the product very much. I tune in whenever I can when it's an afternoon game. Mm-hmm. It's always on the screen at the pub. And, you know, we get people come out who expressly want to watch MLS. And it gives me hope maybe one day, bro, whose big fat face was plastered over TSN.ca the other day, that perhaps we can get a baseball team as well.
I have an Impact cap.
Hey, good on you.
I bought it.
Hey, look at you.
I supported the Impact.
Do you ever watch the games?
You've used Bank of Montreal bank machines.
I have.
Who hasn't?
I've been to one game. I was invited to go there by the English Montreal School Board. They brought me in.
Oh, cool. Oh.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not a big soccer fan. I'll tell you that. And I went and I was like, you know what? I'm hoping I'm going to see a really good game. The final score was 0-0.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And it was unfortunately a bad experience for me in the sense that I wanted to be impressed with the game and I wanted to
now,
be involved in it.
This season?
This was last season.
Last season. Okay, so right. It wasn't MLS caliber.
Right. The skill level, I'm sure, is a lot higher. Yeah. It's much more exciting. Maybe even if there was no score, it would still be a better game.
No, and the style of football they play, like, and this point, one of the things I like about them, they get the ball at the net. They take shots. They play, you know, like, this is why Scotland and Ireland and England never do well when they play other countries, because they actually want to take shots and they want people to get excited and watch attacking football. And, like,
they're there to perform, to entertain.
I mean, imagine that. And that's what Marsh has the boys doing. And, like, you know, I think now he's finally figured out how to use DeVio correctly. I think he had him running the ball, carrying the ball much more than he should. He doesn't have the legs. He should just post up at the net. And now that he's doing that, he's opened up. Right, I mean, that's fair to say.
Yeah, yeah. And he was caught offside like eight times, he still managed to score a goal.
But that's where he's supposed to be. That's where you want him to be.
Oh, that's right.
And I have to say, between him and that Felipe, who, like, there is a heck of a lot of skill.
A classic Brazilian actor as well.
Felipe. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes he touches his shin a lot. He touches his shin, but he's our shin toucher, so I don't mind.
And he's an incredible player. So
he is spectacular.
So Montreal could forgive him for that.
Exactly right.
Jay Farrar getting schooled on soccer by Jay Baruchel, and nothing from Anakin Slade whatsoever. But that's okay. Hopefully, people in the East End are not as angry with me anymore, because God knows you don't want to piss anybody off in the East End.
No, no. Well, just tell him. Listen. We'll put Gino Vanelli on. We'll play Gino Vanelli at some point tonight, all right?
You think that'll do it?
Yeah.
So much for me not pissing off anybody in the East End anymore.
It was going so well.
Follow him at Baruchel NDG. At JPub Radio is my Twitter handle. At Anakin Slade. And at Steph ML. With something about an N and an E in it. You're listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN Radio 990.
You say the hill's too steep to climb. You say you'd like to see me try.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, I like that. Bobbing some heads in the studios here.
Right?
Well, now, what was that?
That was Driver's Seat by immortal 70s one-hit wonder slash studio musicians who were assembled to form a band, Sniff and the Tears.
Excellent.
Wow.
Wow.
That is obscure.
Thank you.
I was going to say it has kind of a 70s sound to it.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Was it the...
It might have been that. This is the Kaufman Show on TSN Radio.
It's like the Doobie Brothers on crack a little bit.
Get on your seat. Drive a seat. I just need to do a shout out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Via Twitter. I think this is my friend's cousin. Hey, Jay, this is Victoria Caroni. Hey, Jay, I'm listening to you on TSN and wondering if you could give my boyfriend's hockey Twitter a shout-out. RQ Insider. Well, there it is. I did it. So, RQ Insider.
She didn't say to do it with enthusiasm.
No, she said just basically to state, well, we could put a little blah at the end of that one.
Yeah, sorry. RQ Insider represent. There you go.
Stalwart. this is the Kaufman Show. Jay Farrar, Jay Baruchel, Attic and Slade, John Kakalakis in the back room doing whatever he does.
So odd.
and Stefan Mel at the board, just not knowing if he's going to have a job tomorrow.
Wait a second. Where's your job security? Why is he the one who doesn't know if he has a job tomorrow?
Because I blame everybody else for anything
that I do.
Well, you know, they fire in droves. You get rid of one, you got to get rid of all three, I
Indeed,
guess.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
I might be fired from the radio station after this.
You might be.
Non-employees even get fired.
Exactly.
Gents, I pose this question to you. Now, I don't care about, I used to care, but I don't care anymore about anybody doing steroids. I really don't. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care about Roger Clemens. I don't care about Lance Armstrong. God bless him for all the work he does for charity, but I don't care about these things. What baffles my mind, and it's satirical. I think you make a good comedy out of this. Is that people in high places think that they can actually erase records and championships. I don't know if they're using one of those little, you know, dildos for Men in Black or whatever
that thing is.
And just what is the significance of this? What happens? Do we forget about it and say, oh, well, that didn't really happen?
Well, beyond that, once we start that discussion, what else qualifies for removal?
Well, apparently Joe Paterno's football record does as well.
Yeah, right.
They somehow decided that they would take away. How many games was it, Steph?
How
many wins? Like 300 wins or something?
Yeah, something like that.
That didn't happen.
We'll systematically wipe out 300 wins from his record,
but bro, you're
kill everybody who lived during that time so that there would be no memory of it whatsoever.
You're answering your own question. That is the reason people get so upset, because they can't erase the records that have been made.
So why bother?
Well, okay, well, people are trying to do this. I mean, no one's trying to do this in baseball.
No, but what's next? I mean, Tour de France, college football. I mean, these are big organizations. Tour de France is the biggest bike race in the world and one of the biggest events on the planet.
But what,
and you know,
what he did was illegal. Am
and
I
the
correct
NCAA, not exactly a small organization either, and they're wiping out records. It doesn't matter. I mean, steroids is the same thing. So what do they do next? They wipe out the last
steroids is
300 of Barry Bonds home runs? What
no,
do
but
they
steroids
do?
Is different, because technically steroids was not illegal in baseball. So you get a bit of a gray area there. But, I mean, steroids was illegal in the Tour de France.
I think it's in the Olympics,
Marion Jones.
I understand, but I don't understand how they think that this is some form of punishment. That's what I don't get.
Because it happened already, no matter what it happened, and even if digits are removed from paper, the deeds still occurred. You know?
So instead of an asterisk, they just wipe it out completely.
I guess. I mean, it doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. I mean, it's
semantics, really. I mean, it's just
it
the...
It is, and also more to a point like this... It's this, the issue with doping. Yes, it's a problem, but it seems to be this thing that, like, you're guilty if you get caught. But that's about it. But I assume everybody is. Assume that this is the industry standard.
Well, it's two of his teammates that rat him out. Right. Lance Armstrong, I'm talking about. Two of his own teammates. Now, they were all caught as well doing steroids.
Right, right.
That's just that team.
Yeah,
can you imagine the entire field, what is going on in there?
Oh,
so I would
be,
say
yeah.
that seven in a row is pretty impressive anyway, wouldn't you?
Regardless.
Yeah.
It's like if you go to the movie theater now and you go watch The Expendables and you see how jacked Stallone is. Yes,
right.
He's all filled with human growth hormone and God knows what.
Yes.
It's still a lot of work at 70 to look like that, regardless
yeah.
of what you're putting into your body.
Yeah, looking at him in Rocky Balboa
no,
was
that's what
unbelievable.
I mean, honest to God.
Yeah.
And to be north of 60, RIP, let's have a moment for that show, North of 60.
North of 60.
Remember that thing? All right.
This is the moment. This is the... Sorry, okay, go on.
But to be, you know, here's the thing is, like, people pretend that, like, You take steroids and all of a sudden you just inherit medals and championships and it diminishes the feat, but it doesn't in any way negate the athleticism. It can't.
Yeah.
It doesn't negate it, but it exaggerates it. And that exaggeration has influence on not only what's happening at the time, it has consequences to the history of the game. At least I'm talking from a baseball perspective right now, because I don't care about biking. But in baseball, these records, these, like, you know, these are sacred.
Now everybody
records.
From France is going to be calling you.
Yeah. But, I mean, Hank Aaron's record is so sacred, and there's always going to be that doubt, you know.
But
and,
every
I mean,
game,
there is no doubt.
But every game evolves, right? Like, this is because to me, nobody will ever be able to tell me different that Patrick Roy isn't the greatest goalie of all time. People are now saying Brodeur has more wins, but Patrick Roy played an era where there were games with draws. And so what I'm saying is, no matter what, in every sport, cultures, sports evolve, there will be an allowance for states. As sacred for stats, as sacred as the stats might be, every game changes. They're like, that's just what happens.
Should we, I mean, is the past rendered useless at this point? Do we, I mean, every great is always compared to the feats of others
right.
in the past, which is never fair anyway,
right.
because I always believe that athletes should be compared by how far ahead they were of their peers mm-hmm. at the time
no,
that they
it
played.
It has to be compared
which,
to who they're playing against.
That's right, which is why I think Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player
right.
of all time.
Right.
But at the same time, should these numbers, you know, 755 and 56-game hitting streak, and should these numbers be sacred? Are they sacred?
That's a good point. I mean, I was just thinking to myself, you know, as long as people really understand the history and don't just look at the numbers, we're okay. You know, if you look at the 90s and say, well, you know, there's a lot of crazy numbers here, but this is an aberration. This was not loyal to, say, Babe Ruth's era. It's a completely different era. So compare to the people that were playing at the time, and you'll see that Babe Ruth, like you say, I agree with you, is the greatest player to ever play the game. His numbers are outlandish.
So far ahead
compared to
of everyone
else
yeah.
at that time. And he changed the game. He
yeah.
was the first real home run hitter.
He was also a great pitcher, too, by the way.
It's absurd.
It is absurd. And I guess it's the numbers that a guy like that put up, you know, 62 home runs, 61 home runs. People said, there's no way. And I guess that's where the worship comes from. When you see that number and it's mentioned over and over and over again, it becomes sacred. It becomes something that people like to hold as their own. I was there, you know. I was there when Aaron hit 715.
Yeah.
I was there when McGuire hit 70.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's based on it's generational at best. I mean, nobody knows the guys. All the guys in the 1800s who were hitting over 400 constantly
nobody,
in the same amount.
Nobody is more pissed off about that than Todd McFarlane, because he paid, what, $3 million
yeah.
for Mark McGuire's ball?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, McFarlane's doing all right. You know.
You sure about that?
Well,
bro?
Yeah. But speaking,
it's not Seth McFarlane.
Speaking of Spawn.
Todd.
Yeah, speaking of Spawn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Wait a second.
Yeah. Maybe he's not doing all right.
Wait a second. So this time yesterday, if anybody said that there would be two references to Spawn.
Unrelated.
Unrelated.
Yeah.
Totally unrelated.
Unrelated. Yeah.
And interviews apart, interviews and songs and
yeah.
commercials apart, I would have thought, you're crazy, you're out of your mind. But this is media, the living, breathing organism that is media, Spawn can be mentioned twice in the same radio show.
With relevance, complete relevance.
Yeah.
So Michael J. White, if you're out there listening, pinch yourself.
Filming Black Dynamite 2 or whatever.
At the risk of sounding redundant, this is the Kaufman Show on TSN Radio 990. We'll be back. Kaufman's hometown. Unfortunately, he's at an Argos game. Jesus.
That's the opposite.
Yeah. Just the opposite.
Pinch yourself, Dave. You're at an Argos.
Yeah, we're having a good time here. This is the Kaufman Show. Jay Farrar in studio with Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade, John Kakalakis doing whatever he does.
Oh, so what a
just
name.
Picking on Jeff. You know what? I'll just give him credit.
You just like first saying of all, his name.
I keep saying his name because I said it wrong because I used to know a guy named Korkalakos. So I just totally screwed that up. John works very hard for the show, always on the scoops, puts the podcast together. Don't forget to listen that in. It's Kaufman Show at Podbean. Stefan Mello behind the board. And I believe on the line we have the proprietor and the originator, the man who started this whole thing, Dave Kaufman. Dave, are you there?
Gentlemen,
how's it going, bud? How you doing?
Good. How are you all doing?
Well, it doesn't matter how we're doing.
Yeah,
we need to know how you're doing. We need to know, are you having first things first, are you having an okay vacation? Don't answer because I'm not done asking questions. Number two, how terribly have we ruined this fan base and this thing that you've cultivated? Years and years of blood, sweat, and tears to find a cross-section of politics, culture, and sports, and we have our friends calling in. What do you think?
We've got a bunch of idiots in the studio being crazy.
Far from it. You guys are doing a great job. It sounds fantastic. You beat out a CFL game for my attention, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Go figure.
Victory is ours.
Reach for the stars, guys. No, I went down to the Rogers Center to check out they were honoring about two dozen Canadian Olympians before the game.
Oh, cool.
So I went down there and checked that out and thought that was pretty cool. And my attention span for the local CFL is
would assume. And is this weird? Is this an out of body experience being a guest on the Kaufman Show?
No, he's done it before.
The last time I did it was 10 minutes after walking out of a Springsteen concert.
So yeah, and he was.
I've had a chance to sober up.
He was at a Springsteen concert last time.
Hey, yeah. Dave Kaufman, why do you hate Springsteen so much?
I don't know. It's, you know what? Honestly, blame Melnick.
Yeah,
that's his fault.
Totally his fault.
How was the show, by the way?
It was unreal. 3 hours and 45 minutes long.
It's unbelievable. He does that every single time, doesn't he? You need the police to shut him down. That is old school.
You know, doing a 3-hour radio show takes it out of us, Jay, so you can only imagine.
I can say that again.
Yeah.
No. Well, first of all, the expression is you can say that again. And I actually said, hey, I can say that again.
This is,
by the way, guys, that somebody sent me a text message. Supposedly, if I mention Goon or the newsroom, I have a shot at getting onto one of the shows.
Yep.
Yes, you do.
That's all it takes. It's that easy.
Yeah.
So, can I mention that the soundtracks in both of those, both the TV show and the movie, are fantastic?
Hey, good on
you.
I
haven't touched on yet.
Look at that. Thank you very much. And
he
I
noticed
gotta,
that.
He did notice it, and I got to give love and respect to my boy Evan Dubinsky. Follow him at Twitter at Evan Dubinsky.
But at Steph Amell.
At Steph Amell without
with
the E.
Something in the E.
.gov.qc.ca/poofface. No, but he, no, this is my boy Evan Dubinsky, one of my best friends in the world, and also the music supervisor on Goon. So largely, mostly responsible for the Wicked soundtrack that movie has.
Very cool. And well, the newsroom's a little fresher in my mind right now after the season finale last night. Soundtrack on that show.
It's spectacular. Yeah, it's pretty damn. You know what, Kaufman? You're an old softie, aren't you?
You know that. Yeah, we barely know each other, but I'm a total softie. nothing butters me up like hearing the Republicans called the American Taliban.
Yes. Hell yes. Yeah, no kidding. I thought you'd like that one.
Oh man.
I thought of
oh,
you right
man.
Away. Not because Taliban, but because of
liberal
what they said.
Journalism pornography. Is exactly what that is.
That's exactly right. That's your bread and butter.
When are you coming back, man?
Oh, I'm back soon. I'm going to stick around and.
You're moving to wherever the Argos play. What is it? What the hell is
Rogers
it?
Rogers Center.
You're moving to the Rogers. Is that the Sky Dome?
They've got yeah.
Oh, Sky Dome.
Sky Dome. Come on now.
So my joke is to can I go back and you're moving to the Sky Dome, aren't you? Can I just lease it?
The only corporate center that we'll mention on our DTV affiliated channel is the Bell Center, I think.
Fair enough.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. We broke many rules just now.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sure
we've been breaking them. Yeah, we've been breaking them for the last 2 hours and 11
we've
minutes.
Been breaking them for a year for our. Come
well,
on.
Yeah, listen, Corner Gas is available on DVD at fine stores everywhere.
I'm going to stick around, Jay, and go to the Expos tribute ball game on Sunday.
Oh, where is that? What's happening over there?
That is also at Rogers Center, and a bunch of Expos fans.
Oh, that one. Yeah, okay, I know about that one.
Mr. Matthew Ross of Game Point Spain are heading down to Toronto. I think everybody's barreling down the 401 on Saturday or on Sunday morning. I figure, well, what the hell? Why go back and then come back?
I thought somebody else was doing some sort of a tribute game. I know about that one. I'm going to it.
Really think there's going to be multiple Expos tributes in Toronto?
Why not?
Anywhere in the world?
Well, the last time the Expos...
Even last time
the Expos were good, we've had a referendum since then, so most of the fans are over there anyway. You'd figure
well,
there's a
very good point.
Yeah.
Maybe they should bring up the second ball club here. Maybe that's what the Canadian Chamber of Commerce really.
Hey, Kaufman, while you're in Toronto, there's a little out of the way place you've got to try called Wayne Gretzky's. It's a
mom and pop.
It's a mom and pop operation, yeah. And you might not be aware of its existence. In case you don't see the massive sign that says Wayne Gretzky, and I think there's a statue of him. Don't eat there.
I think he just hung up.
It's so humble and subtle. It's kind of like Cosmo in NDG, you know, this big Greek guy with a cigarette hanging around.
That's exactly
making
right.
You some
no,
greasy
that's,
bacon.
If these walls could talk, you know.
I think you mentioned that because the last time I was there, I think I was 12 years old, and I watched Dwayne Ward smoke a cigarette.
Nice. No surprise there, my friend.
No, absolutely not. So you're getting your ass to Toronto, right, Jay Farrar? I mean, Baruchel, I'm not expecting you to make it. But,
yeah, I'm.
You, come on down.
I'm going to try and figure it out.
What? I appreciate the invite. What are we doing? We're just going to go to Licks and sing while we make hamburgers. Or?
That's exactly it. We're going to take the Captain Flinders boat around a tour of Captain Flinders.
I'm just trying to think of every Toronto thing that I can think.
You can sleep on his couch in the Sky Dome.
Oh, there we go.
Sky Dome
yes.
couch.
Right, because he moved into the
exactly.
Sky Dome.
And again,
yes.
Over here it's called the Chesterfield.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
That's right.
It's so clear that I've lost complete control of the show, Kaufman. And...
Oh, and it's been such a pleasure talking sports with you guys, too.
Well, we covered all the basics. We got very serious in the last segment. I don't know if you heard it.
And... I was eavesdropping, if you will, through the TSN.ca app. And I have to say, I have one comment to make. You talked about Babe Ruth being this unparalleled player in his era. Lou Gehrig was pretty solid, too.
Yeah, he was okay, but
you know,
he didn't live very long. So,
and I say, oh, Jay.
Just just established he's an old softie.
Sorry.
I
forgot.
Pride of the Yankees last night.
Oh, did you?
You really are an old softie. Yeah, Jesus,
throwing on the Gary Cooper films?
I love Gary Cooper.
Yeah. I was watching the Gary Cooper
films. This guy has Norman Rockwell as a wallpaper on his cell phone.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking with the new version with Ricky Baby.
Yeah. Exactly right. Well, you should be so. How flattered are you? World broadcast premiere first, Ricky Maybe on the air and on the Kaufman Show.
I honestly can't wait to go back and listen to this podcast. I have a feeling it's going to be a hell of a ride.
I hope you don't. I just hope we haven't made you too miserable, is all.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in Toronto already, so we don't want to.
Yeah.
Jokes, I joke.
Not only in Toronto, he's at his Argos game. God almighty.
Well, give my regards to Pinball.
Yeah, what concentric circle of hell is that? What do you call it?
I saw Pinball tonight, of course.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he's the friendliest man in Toronto. You know what? I almost expect to run into Pinball whether I'm at an Argos game or not.
No, he drives Cash Cab. He's just driving around. He just goes around driving the Cash Cab, making, remember me, guys?
He's the only guy at the game anyway. It doesn't matter.
Running
from anywhere.
Running along the sidelines constantly.
Yeah, just wishing he could get that echo.
I'm picturing a similar crowd next weekend for the Blue Jays Tampa series.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be just us Expos fans up in Section 240.
And Pinball.
And, well, maybe Pinball. Yeah, we should give him an invite.
Why are we picking on Pinball? He's like the nicest dude.
He's
never hurt a fly.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
That is not true. Pinball Clements has hurt multiple flies. He's a great humanitarian.
And perhaps a caterpillar or two.
Oh,
I mean, he brought it a level up.
I saw this guy. You should see. He was eating them like raisins. He was just eating. He had a Ziploc bag filled with flies, eating them by the handful like they were raisins. Is that not disgusting? Pinball Clements eats flies like raisins.
Jesus.
I'm still on the Luke Garrett thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Steph, are we taking a break? We're going to systematically just take apart your show for the next 43 minutes or so. Dave?
Yeah, play me off, boys.
Yeah. No, that's the wrong one, Steph. Come on, man. Come on, man.
We flustered him.
Seven, man.
He's completely flustered.
Seven. There you go. It's a Blue Monday for Dave Kaufman, as he's not allowed to do his own show, and us three jerks are. Dave, thanks for joining us on your own show.
Of course, and Jay, thank you as always. Mr. Baruchel, Mr. Slade, I really appreciate it, guys, and we'll see you all in Montreal real soon.
Very soon, bud. Have a good one.
See you next week.
Absolutely.
Take care, buddy. Have a good time at whatever concert you're going to next, which I'm sure there is one. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be taking your calls next. Call in 790-0990. You're listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN Radio. Saturday morning, oh, Saturday morning, all my time never gone away. Find my morning in my heart, and I'm out on the stairs to play. We'll be right back. Yeah. Another Baruchel tune. What's that?
That's Eye Against Eye by Massive Attack featuring Mos Def, as featured in the closing credits of Blade 2.
Excellent.
I thought so.
How do eyes square off?
That's a good question. Thanks.
You know, I stumped him.
It seems like the best soundtracks are coming out of the crappiest movies, isn't it?
Usually, yeah. It follows with scores as well.
Yeah.
Scores, yep.
Apparently, that cartoon of Sinbad has awesome, awesome music in it, and I know none of us saw it.
I'm still contemplating whether it exists or not.
I know, right.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out if I've seen Blade 2, because nobody else did.
I did.
No, that's all right. Wasn't that Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, that's
Blade Trinity. That's Blade Trinity.
No, number two is the one that...
It's kind of an alien.
Del Toro, Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, yes.
Ron Perlman's in it, too, right?
That's right. He played as the leader of the Blood Pack.
Oh, yes. Okay. It's kind of... Yeah. What the hell was that?
That was me. That was...
You're turning into a demon
geek. Ron Perlman as leader of the Blood Pack.
You were like a geek demon.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're like, it's
a character from How to Train Your Dragon 2 or 3 or whatever. Which one are they on now?
We've only done one.
Oh, okay.
There's only one has come out. We're doing
so many.
Two. Yeah, come on. What do you got? 4 or 5? How many police academies you guys making over there? Is Mahoney back?
Mahoney.
Steve Gunberg was too good to do the third one. Oh, man.
Bubba Smith, pour out a little liquor.
No, because I get confused because all these animated movies always come out with these featurettes.
We got those, too. I know from featurettes.
Your character stars in one, doesn't it?
When I was a kid, I had really bad featurettes disease.
That's awful.
I don't even know what that would be.
Yeah. You leave 5 minutes before the movie starts.
That's right.
Yeah, it's featurettes disease.
Oh, wow. Ricky Mabee tweeted, y'all are entertaining radio. I'm not going to bother with WWE Monday Night Raw. Well, there you go.
Really? It's... Okay.
We're better than wrestling.
Yeah. Wow. Again, victory is ours.
Yes. We've topped the Argos and Monday Wrestling.
And Monday Wrestling.
Oh,
excellent.
That's way huger than the Argos.
This is a Kaufman show. I'm Jay Farrar. The other guy's yapping on behind my back over here.
Pinball Clemens.
Pinball Clemens. Jay Baruchel, Anakin Slade in the house. I've lost complete control. We are taking your phone calls. No phone call there, Steph? I thought there was one.
Yeah, he's going to call on the long distance number.
Oh, well, that's...
Oh, well, he must be very pleased with himself. Yeah. Aren't you happier away from here? Where do you think you're so special long distance?
You know he's coming on the air in a second. You'll get to actually talk to him.
Well, is he from out of town, or he's just calling on the long distance for kicks?
Well, that's him calling right now. Let's get him on.
We've already got the questions lined up for our next guest.
Where are you from, and why aren't you here?
Hi. Can I get him directly on the air? Yeah. Hi, you're on the air. Who am I speaking to?
This is Steve from Redondo Beach.
Oh!
Why, is Jimmy retired? He's not taking any calls before we go on the air now?
Jimmy, I don't know where Jimmy is.
That would be too many Greeks. It would be an overload.
Jimmy only does the late night show, Steve. Steph Amell has joined us very kindly here.
you poor schmuck.
Yeah, in studio because we started at an earlier time tonight, and we will be on again at 7 p.m. next week, according to what Sean Campbell told me, and then we'll be back to our regular slot.
Listen, we don't want your life story, all right? We just...
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh,
well, see, I try to promo myself.
Okay, let Expo talk.
Yeah, Expo, what's up, buddy?
Congrats on being on here at the drive time, so that's great. I'm sure you're getting a lot of calls tonight from Southern California because of Jay's special appearance. Jay, I've got a question for Jay. First,
Which Jay?
Jay that lives out here and in Montreal.
Oh, Baruchel. Okay, go ahead. He's going to answer it anyway. So
first, congratulations on being able to swing that, being out here and in.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been able to be hired down there, but I don't actually live there. I've been running a racket for the duration of my career. 12 years. I've been living here and getting work down there. Lucky me. So
well,
and he loves L.A. It kills him to be away from
exactly.
Sarcasm noted.
come on.
We've already dissed Toronto and major centers across North America.
All right.
Here's my question for Jay.
Please.
Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared.
Yes.
Well, first of all, did you guys talk about those shows tonight?
No.
It's been Goon and Newsroom all night, buddy.
Okay. Speaking of Goon, when you get back here, let's have a showing at the Redondo Beach Cafe. It's the home of hockey in Southern California.
Great
the
idea.
Cup was there last month. You know,
I'm in. Well, that's. I've been. You know, you've been kind enough to extend an invite to me for a while now, and I will take you up on it this fall. And it sounds like a Goon screening party would be the way to go.
All right, I'll have my buddies follow up at the Redondo Beach Cafe. I love Freaks and Geeks was one of my all time favorite shows, and Undeclared, which you starred in, I viewed as a sequel. And obviously, I guess the ratings must have been poor for both shows because they got canceled after a year, but they have a fantastic cult following, I believe, and I still watch the reruns. I just was wondering what it was like to work on Undeclared and how Apatow and the other producers managed to get it on the air, if you know, after Freaks and Geeks was canceled. It seems highly unusual that, you know.
Because I think going in that even though it was canceled, it was still such a well-reviewed show and that he had a lot of heat and sort of mojo, for lack of a better term, but he also he had a deal with DreamWorks, and it was to make I'm not sure how many shows. I don't want to talk about the ins and outs of his deal, but he was always going to make another show, and it was the track record that he had and the people that he had worked with. I think Fox assumed he'd get a lot of funny people to do guest spots, which he did. You know, we had Stiller and Sandler and Ferrell and all this stuff. Ferrell before he was even a movie star, it was before Old School or any of that stuff. But to answer your first question about what it was like, it was, one of the best jobs I've ever had, without a doubt, because, there were no characters written. We showed up, rehearsed, and then they based characters on our improvs and our rehearsals, which is kind of neat, and I've never experienced that before or after. That being said, I was 18, and it was my first time away from home, and of all places to be in Los Angeles, for my going away from home for the first time. It was a lot to process. So, I went to fake university on TV, but it was at the same time in my life that I would have been going to real university. So it was just it was a beautiful time, but it was every bit as emotional as any time is when you're 18, if that makes any sense.
It seemed like you fit the role perfectly, and you were fantastic.
Thank you very much.
I won't take up too much of your time. Don't eat too many bagels when you're in Montreal.
No promises.
And Anakin, see you hopefully in the fall.
Expo, we're going to miss you this Sunday in Toronto, where we're all going to rock our Expo's gear and remember. So you'll be there in spirit, right?
I will. And in fact, I'll try and watch the game. I'm sure it's on MLB and that somewhere.
The game is irrelevant. I won't even be watching it.
Well, I'm only going to be watching it in the hopes that they're going to show you guys.
Good man.
Have fun.
Peace, bud.
Nice to meet you, bud.
Same here. Bye.
Take care, Expo. That was Steven Redondo. A regular here on the Kaufman Show. I like how he said goodbye to you and goodbye to you.
Listen, Ferrar, you can't get arrested tonight.
Well, that might change, believe me. I've got plans. You're listening to the Kaufman Show on TSN 990.
Star is
long shot.
Yeah. Yo, Sticky, what up?
Yeah, what's good? My money, man. Yeah.
Okay, let's set the tone up correct.
Yeah, I know, sir.
Let's do it 9-4 style. We throwing them up like hardcore. Like we back in 9-4. It's Judgment Night. These are raps, man. And I say, bring back the man.
It's for your cowards to drop down. I post it on the block like stop signs. How could you stop crime when I listen to me pop nines? The boy got hotlines like phone numbers for runaways. I beef like bait, get done away. When I see my P.O., only time I put my the away. Wait, fun, at least one of
them. Yeah. The edited version of Bringing Back the Mad Face, Anakin Slade featuring Onyx. It was, That must have been a hard video to edit.
I was just thinking there was
a lot of swears.
I don't hear the edited version very often, and I just heard at least 11 swear words cut out in the first 30 seconds. Incredible.
This is the Kaufman Show. Jay Farrar filling in for the absent Dave Kaufman off doing a tour of tours or concerts, whatever. Whatever he does. And
he's following Bell and Sebastian across the world.
Joined in studio by Jay Baruchel, my younger brother, Anakin Slade, behind the board is Stefan Mell, and in the control room, trying and attempting to put this all together, Mr. John Kakalakis. God, say that 10 times. he came in here, he was so upset with me because I know the guy's name. You know, I know the guy's name, and he's a good friend of mine, and John does such hard work for so little pay that he really needs George Larac. But he came in here, he's like, Jay, it's just like, and I felt so, he's like, bro.
I got a name.
He's like, you're saying my name wrong, and I'm like, my heart, you could just like see the moment.
Hey, come on, I got a name. Yeah. I gave me a name for a reason.
Yeah.
I might as well say the right one.
My soul left my body, if it hasn't already. In the last 2.5, you guys having fun? Because you know what, this is the most fun. I mean, aside from when Kaufman's usually here, this is the most fun I've ever had on radio.
This is not unlike a root canal. No. I am having a blast. This is as much fun as I've had in a very long time.
Yeah. Oh geez, I forgot about a guest we were supposed to have on, so we're gonna give him a call right now.
Right.
Yeah, because we need to talk a little bit more hockey because you guys.
Wow.
I'm looking at my phone, fill in here for a second.
Listen. So I've noticed a disturbing trend in squirrel reproduction. I've noticed that. You know, the water sports have worked their way into the squirrel mating rituals. They're now squirrel.
And we're back here on the Kaufman Show as we make a call to Eric Engels, who will join us maybe to talk a little bit of serious hockey, which we have failed to do so far today.
Close.
To restore professionalism.
Had you not interrupted, I was about to say the words golden shower.
Which you just apparently did.
Yeah. On this show, it's right up there with Human Centipede, which are one of our favorite guests. Dave Siren has a tendency to say very often.
Or cruising with Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah, which is as bad as.
Yeah. I just wonder, you wear yellow bandanas if you like pee? All right, here we go.
Oh, man. Thankfully, Eric Engels has called in. And I don't have the proper introduction for Eric because it's my first time hosting the show alone. But Eric is a regular here on TSN 990. He is our hockey insider, I could guess. I mean, our local hockey insider. And maybe you can give the audience a refreshing perspective and maybe a few facts on what we should be talking about right now. Eric, how are you?
I can feel like I feel like I'm walking into a circus right now. Oh,
dude, I don't know if you've been listening for the last 2 hours or 2.5 hours, but
I have been watching. I've been watching Strike Back. Somebody told me about it.
Hey, good on you. I love that show.
This show is ludicrous. I mean, it is highly entertaining.
Very, very entertaining.
Okay, good. Well, I'm sure it was more entertaining than our show.
I doubt it.
it's been a good one, my friend.
I'll say this though, whatever the guys on Strike Back definitely aren't nearly as in shape as all of us.
Yeah, okay. Eric.
All right, Eric,
you still there?
What's doing, fellas?
Well, you tell me what's doing. I mean, have there been any meetings this week? I mean, what are these guys doing? Are we going to see some hockey? I mean, it's pretty clear that we're not. Everybody seems to be down on the dumps about it, and there seems to be a pessimistic view. Anything since we last spoke, or the last, it's been a week since we've been on the air, and probably be several before we're on again. What's gone down, buddy? What's going on in the meeting rooms?
You know what? It's a funny thing, and obviously every hockey fan is following this as closely as possible. And you know, nobody's going to make a logical argument that says that there's not going to be some form of a work stoppage, given that the two sides are so far apart from one each other.
Right.
But at the same time, Jay, you know, every negotiation goes down like this until there's the last breaking point where somebody needs to make a concession. They are going to be far apart. And I like to know that Donald Fair and Gary Bettman are locking themselves in a room every day that this deal isn't hammered out. But you know, it seems as though they meet a couple times a week, and I just don't understand why things have to get to the last hour, but that's the nature of negotiation. So I think it is premature to panic and say that they're guaranteed will be a lockout and that it'll be an extensive one. But at the same time, it's just the logical argument to make right now because nobody knows any better.
And this is one of the things that, from what I've seen, has been frustrating the fans the most, is like, why now? Why has it taken so long? But I would guess it's really about posturing, isn't it?
You know, I think if I were in charge of, well, first of all, I would never be in charge of either side of this debate. But if I were in there, I would want to work it out so that the next CBA has a clause in it that if revenue hits a certain level and that it's going to gradually increase the way it should, and that the players have agreed to the agreement that eventually will get signed. That the CBA should automatically be reactivated. It's insane for the fans to go through this once again after
every day. And would it be once a decade? We're going to have to hold our breaths.
I mean, I hope not, and I would hope not for all the other pro sports. You know, the craziest thing about this whole thing is all we've heard since the lockout is how the NHL has been doing better and better with each year, and the cap has gone up every year. And for Gary Bettman to say that the system is broken is just a mockery. And obviously that shifts the court of public opinion and the players in the players' corner. And I don't know if public opinion has anything to do with what will end up getting settled. But, you know, you look at all sides, if the profit has continually gone up and the players' salaries have continually gone up, that means the owners have gotten richer throughout that process. And you have to wonder how long they'd like to sit on the sidelines knowing that they'd be halting momentum. So it's just one of those ridiculous situations, and I think it's just brutally unfair that any of us should have to go through it again.
And that's the thing about Bettman. He displays baffling hypocrisy sometimes when he says something like, well, you know, when he gets criticized for, well, it's taking so long, and what happens if there is a lockout? Are we going to lose the fans? And he basically said, well, we didn't lose them the last time. We didn't lose them 7 years ago. Pretty cocky about it, too. You know, we'll get them all back.
Recession-proof.
Yeah.
And we'll be here no matter what.
Yet the system is broken.
Yeah.
You know?
He always seems to have this petulant kind of stance. And, you know, when it comes to Gary Bettman, I mean, he's working for the owners. He did a great job for them the first time around. But at this stage, he needs to be speaking to the fans of the game and not in that tone. And it's just it's doom and gloom on all sides, and that they're the last people you want to be hearing it from. So it's it's one of those brutal situations. And I was laughing with a friend today about the fact that, hey, you know, we'll have this lockout. It'll last a couple months. Everyone will be starving for Canadians hockey, and who knows what that's going to be.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying before, like, if you flash back a month and a half ago or whatever, you flash back to July 1st and the lead up to that, and like all the free agency frenzy and the sort of hyper analysis that comes along with that, and everyone on Twitter and everyone on TV, all thoughts consumed with what the new look of their respective teams are going to be. And now I don't know that I'll get to see this team, period. I mean, I wonder, like, does that mean that negotiations between Bergevin and PK and potential other people he might be interested in, like, has this stuff all stalled because they're beholden to these discussions?
I don't think so. I want to get into PK in 1 second, but I do want to say one thing about the lockout. The last thing I'll say about it, really, or the impending lockout, or whether or not there will be a lockout. The thing that bothers me the most that's been going on, you know, just in the Twittersphere and with fans and everybody on all sides of this, is trying to really understand what's going on, is people kind of throwing the owners under the bus for giving out contracts at market value for players that you're going to have to pay for one way or the other, whether it's now or after this whole thing goes down. And then you have some people that have ripped on players that have signed deals, like, hometown discount, like Scotty Hartnell signed. And the argument that obviously that he's not doing right by the PA by signing a deal that's less than his market value. You know, the dynamics in the economics don't change no matter what. And that's why you've heard Marc Bergevin say it's business as usual the whole way through here. Mm-hmm. And that's how the general managers have to approach this. So I don't understand why people have equated that the owner saying they need to work things into this new deal, that it's a contradiction that, you know, the guy in Minnesota goes out and signs, you know, Zach Parise and Ryan Suter at the money that they signed for. These are market value contracts. That those dynamics are just not going to change moving forward.
We're sorry about the late call there, buddy. We had a few unexpected callers call in. It seems like a couple of buddies of ours are listening, and they all think they're famous.
Did you want to hear about PK?
Yes, Suter? I do. I was just going to ask you about PK, because there has been a little bit of backlash against PK as well these days. People are saying, well, you know, why is he spending so much time in the negotiations wearing a suit, standing in back of Donald Fehr? Why isn't he working on his contract? What have you got on PK?
Well, I'll tell you, I think I figured it out. I know that PK is pretty frustrated, and speaking to some people that I know around the city and obviously people that are very close with him. And he's frustrated because he wants to get that long-term deal in Montreal. And sees no point in waiting for it. And when it comes down to it, you look at the closest comparables to PK Subban around the league. And the top name that comes up in my mind, and I brought this up last week, is John Carlson of the Washington Capitals. Here's a guy who's been in the league for 2 years. He's 22 years old. You know, they've played almost the same amount of games, have almost the same amount of points, same thing in the playoffs, and have been counted on in situations where the guys that are supposed to be above them have been, you know, just injured indefinitely. And Mike Green in Washington and Andre Markov here in Montreal. Both players are unsigned right now.
Right.
So you have a situation where you're the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. You want to sign PK Subban to a fair deal, knowing that he's still very young and that you could keep him as an RFA and you can keep him down in the years. And John Carlson hasn't signed yet. So, you know, it's one of those waiting for the shoe to drop, and the Canadiens have to decide, do they want to be the first to make this kind of decision? Because there's a couple other guys who aren't as close comparables, but could serve as comparables.
So they just don't want to, they don't want to leave money on the table yet.
You know, neither side does.
Yeah.
That's obviously the case. I mean, I think if PK Subban were offered a 5 or 6 year deal right now, as of today, and the money were, you know, north of $4 million and graduating, moving forward to 5 and 6, as he gets closer to those UFA years, you know, he would sign it. But when it comes down to it, you know, the Canadians have to wait and see what's going to happen, because there's a couple other players on the market as well in you know, Michael Delzato in New York, who hasn't signed yet. And, you know, the young, talented Dmitry Kulikov in Florida, who hasn't signed yet. So those are four players right there that I think we're waiting to see what's going to happen with one of them. And if none of them get signed before a new CBA comes out, which obviously, you know, the goal for any player right now is to sign a deal before September 15th and the CBA expires, because if the contract minimums are going to change, that's going to take a dramatic effect. So that's kind of the situation that's going on with those guys.
Well, that's all very disheartening, so thanks for
that. Eric, thank you so much for joining us as usual. You're on Hockey Buzz, am I correct? I'm trying to do my homework before the show.
That's one of them.
Yeah, that's one of places. You can read Eric Engel's numerous blogs. Always interesting to have him. Thanks a lot. Sorry about the late call there, bud.
Pleasure. It was fun joining you guys.
Take care.
Wait, before I go, since I know I did tune in to the first 10 minutes of your show and everything, and I was listening.
Well, we don't blame you for tuning out. Yeah.
I was listening to all the tire pumping and everything, and I had a question for Mr. Baruchel. I just wanted to know, is it Don or Jim? What do you think?
Oh, come on. Well, if it was up to me, I just gut both of them like fish. But come on. What do you expect? But, no, I know nothing. Anyway, so there's my answer.
Thanks a lot, Eric, for joining us.
The new Twilight, you know?
Thank you, Eric.
All right, guys. Enjoy. Take care.
See you, bud.
This is The Kaufman Show on TSN 990. Like G.I. Joe, I snatch, I grab, and then I got the dough. See, if I was an Indian, I'd still be the chief.
You don't knock, just walk on in. The door,
heaven is.
There's love,
joy for you.
To share
the whole day
you. I know
my friends are there.
To rest,
heaven is.
You don't knock, strength, push a hole.
Well, we know that sound. That's the sound, traditionally, of our last segment here at The Kaufman Show, or, yeah, I guess. pretty much our last one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we
really... we will live on forever via Podbean.
That's right. You can reach us, The Kaufman Show, on Podbean. It's a podcast, which my friend John Kakalakis, thank you, John, for doing that or whatever you're doing in there. I appreciate it. Puts it all together, which means I'm probably stuck here for another 15 minutes after the show ends, because that's what Kaufman does. Steph Amell behind the board, thank you so much. I hope you had fun today.
I had a great time. You guys are awesome.
Look at that.
Little brother, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
I had a stall wonderful time, bro.
Oh, boy. And, of course, Jay Baruchel. I appreciate you coming to do this, man. It really meant a lot to me, and I really, really believe it. It's been nothing but fun for the last 3 hours, the most fun I've ever had.
Hey,
I swear
thanks,
to God.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I hope I didn't ruin it too much.
Nothing,
this was,
man.
A real treat for me.
I couldn't have done it without you, my friend, and I hope thanks, someday we can do this again.
Anytime.
Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune.
By the way, Goon is available on Blu-ray. We just have to do that, you know. Listen, I'm going to give you as many plugs as I can.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, because you know, all I did is on a whim ask you if you wanted to come in when we had you on the show last week, and
I'm here.
Yeah. All right. That's enough. I think I kissed your ass enough tonight. And God bless you.
Goonmovie.ca.
Anakin Slade, what do you got coming up, just in case?
Nothing.
Nothing? All right.
AnakinSlade.com. Always things happening there.
Yeah. AnakinSlade.com. You can buy his album, Stalwart Empire, as well as, what's the other one called?
Jesus. My biggest fan.
Stalwart Empire, and Once More We Survive.
Oh, I love you, bro.
Once More We Survive was the most recent one, with Inspected Deck and Onyx, amongst others. That's Anakin Slade. And thanks, guys.
We love you, bro.
We love you.
I thought he stole my life.
Carinita.
Last night at the tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
This has been The Kaufman Show. I'm J4R. We'll see you next week at 7 p.m.
I don't know.